You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. We're back after a week away. John Breyer here thought football was coming home, but unfortunately, well, fortunately, England were knocked out by Croatia. The dream ended. And then to insult, salt into the wounds, John, you lost out in the sweepstakes. You had Croatia, ironically, and France beat them, but great to see all 220 euro of our charity pot going to Pieta House.
Yeah, as much as I'd have loved that 100 quid, it would have paid nicely for a night away with the missus. But unfortunately, well, fortunately, it's going to Pieta House, which is a great cause. So one way a bit disappointed, but delighted with the outcome in general.
Yeah, and of course, we're coming back off our biggest episode of the season. Our anniversary show was a fortnight ago. Well over 1,000 listeners across all platforms and unbelievable feedback across our iTunes and our Facebook and our Twitter, as high as 9th in the iTunes charts, which is our second highest ever ranking. So thanks to everyone who supported that episode, and hopefully we'll have some big numbers again tonight, because we certainly have some big talking points. We'll just briefly run through tonight what we're going to be talking about. Obviously, Bray and Limerick, big situations there, John. We have an interview with Rhys Gorman, who's going to give us the latest at Bray. We'll speak to Gary Rogers ahead of Dundalk's second leg tomorrow night against Tallinn. We will speak to Declan Fabio O'Brien about the situations at Bray and Limerick. And finally, we'll have Sligo manager Ger Little on the show after their huge 3-0 win in Dalymount Park. But look, John, we'll kick straight into it, and we're going to run through the European results from the last couple of days.
My favourite time of year. But as we talked about before, we were very unlucky with the draws, I thought, that we got. But I mean, that's the evil of the coefficients and the seedings. But the Cork couldn't have got a worse possible draw, could they, against Legia Warsaw? We've seen them in action against Dundalk, and we know what they're capable of. We gave Cork little chance. They went down 1-0 at home in the first leg, but to be honest, they held themselves up okay. Barry McNamee had a great chance after some awful defending, but just couldn't get enough contact on a scuffed shot.
He should have scored that. You always hear the saying at this level of football that you have to take those chances. Well, if that's true at League of Ireland level, it's certainly true at European level. And when you're not taking chances like that, I think your chance is gone already early on in the game.
And as we saw in the second leg, they had to do something in the first leg. Kioan, he had to shout for a penalty. Did you think it was a decent shout?
Very hard to judge it off the TV angles. I watched the first leg live on a dodgy Facebook stream, so very hard to make anything out. And then Soccer Republic didn't seem to offer the best angles either. So look, these are the decisions that go your way or don't go your way. And unfortunately, Cork didn't get the rub of the green on this one.
No, Cummins should have scored as well. He scuffed his shot. And this is exactly what we're talking about. It's fine margins, even in League of Ireland, but in these Champions League, you're going to get punished for these. And it was indeed. It was heartbreak. It was a really good goal, actually.
Screamer.
Absolute screamer.
I've seen Alan Colley questioned the positioning of Peter Cherry. Didn't move his feet quick enough.
He was a little harsh,
I think, our friend Alan. No, that was a super strike.
Yeah, so I mean, that first leg finished 1-0, but we can certainly question Peter Cherry for the second leg.
Unbelievable. Look, I'll run through the second leg, John. I know you were working last night and didn't get to see it, but I watched it live on a quality Polish stream, I have to say, for once. Wasn't one of these grainy streams that us League of Ireland fans are used to. But Cork, defensively, I have to say, very well organised. Set out their stall to keep it tight for as long as possible. They did that, but obviously went 1-0 down then after a horror moment for Peter Cherry. And that's probably the bit of bad luck we spoke about. Mark McNulty not been available over these two games through injury. Cherry comes in, makes a mistake there.
He's an experienced keeper though, Kieran.
Yeah, his positioning and his ability under a high ball has always been questioned, John, and it's been shown there. Then a penalty. We talk about Cork not getting one in the first leg, Cork given against it in the second leg. Once that went in, it was really game over. But before that, I felt Cork had to go out in the second half and try and change the flow of the game. They had to attack, and I'm particularly looking at Kieran Sadlier sitting on the bench. He doesn't come on. Cork almost drifted out of the game, 2-0 down, and then obviously they concede another one, it's over, and on the scoreline it looks a bit, not, I wouldn't say humiliating against a team like Legia Warsaw, but it's a lot more than it should have been. And I have to say, I was very disappointed with the tactics of John Caulfield. look, keep it tight for as long as you can, but on that 60 minute mark you should have been getting Sadlier on there, trying to change the flow of the game, get Cork forward. They offered really nothing in attack over the two legs, and for me that's disappointing from a League of Ireland perspective.
You can see I'm chomping at the bit to cut in here, can't you? Because I thought Caulfield got it totally wrong over the two legs. Now, way overly cautious.
Yeah.
That starting lineup gave me no hope, to be honest, at the home leg. You've got one of the best assets there in the League of Ireland in Sadlier. You know, there's been calls for him to be called up to the League of Ireland. To the national team. Yeah. And you leave him on the bench.
Yeah.
Your
very
most potent attacking force. Somebody that might actually scare the Legia defence.
And Cummins was on the bench in the first leg. So some strange decisions. And look, had Cork gone and nicked this 1-0 over two legs, everyone would be saying John Caulfield is a genius. But you live and die by these decisions. For me, as you said, John Caulfield was too negative. It's something he has been accused of by his critics in recent times. I think it's come back to haunt Cork here, and we've seen it in Europe in the past under John Caulfield, a negative approach costing Cork City dear. I think the fact they had that net of dropping into the third round of the Europa League, maybe they didn't feel they had to push for it as hard as maybe they mightn't have otherwise. I just thought it was a poor effort. And just on that, John, I ran a poll on the Between the Stripes Twitter account earlier on, at Between Stripes, if you want to give it a follow, folks. On whether League of Ireland fans were disappointed with the performance of Cork City last night. 75% of people said yes, and they wanted to know where Kieran Sadlier was.
Yeah, well, look, to me, you play to your assets. Yes, you can respect the opposition, and we all know they were up against it, Cork. But surely, if you have quality in your squad like that, you play them. You take the risk, you play them. You don't play Cal Shepherd up front by himself. It's just ridiculous decisions, and it's very easy to say afterwards, isn't it? But, you know, for me, he got it wrong.
Yeah, I think, as I said, defensively, I was quite happy with Cork, bar the odd error here and there. You're going to get punished, though, unfortunately. So if they can bring that defensive mould into the third round of the Europa League, but they need to bring an attacking flair in. They didn't do enough on the ball over the two legs here, so that would be a major worry. It's something I think most pundits flagged up as a worry for Cork City going into Europe. And they're going to have to improve on it massively if they want to make any progress now in the Europa League.
Yeah, like I say, I was very disappointed. I thought they could have given it a much better go. And yes, they're very, very lucky that they were the one fixture that was drawn where the loser hits the Europa League.
Speaking of the Europa League, John, we'll move on and we will go to our next fixture there.
Shamrock Rovers against AIK of Stockholm. And like I said before, the seedings, you need to be seeded because this was a mammoth task for Rovers. One goal in it, and Rovers had the chances. Dylan Watts having a couple of chances, decent shot at the keeper. But I have to say, the AIK goal, the only goal of the game, it was a thing of beauty. Lovely crisp move, lots of passes, and a lovely finish.
It was, but every goal can be avoided, John. And if you're looking at Sam Bowen, he lets his man run off him. Greg Bulger doesn't tuck in quick enough. The two holding midfielders there, that's their job to stop that type of thing happening. Unfortunately, they didn't do it. And for the one moment in the night where Rovers turn off their concentration, AIK punished them. As we were saying in the Cork game, these are the small margins that will decide European ties. I know you're talking about Rovers creating a couple of chances. They were mostly wrong, long-range shots.
Half chances.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't overly impressed with Rovers. They did keep the ball well at times, but probably in their own half. I think AIK were happy to sit off them and let them have the ball. They probably didn't feel Rovers had the ability to break them down. So it's going to have to be a mammoth effort now from Rovers when they travel to Sweden.
Absolutely. I mean, one goal in it, but we've seen one goal in the Cork game against Legia Warsaw, and I think they have an absolute mountain to climb with that one, Kieran. I can't see anything. I can't see Rovers getting through that one.
I'm sorry to say so.
Yeah, now, Derry was taking on Dynamo Minsk. After seeing Derry's defence recently, we gave them no hope, didn't we?
I'm shaking my head already, John.
Yeah, and the Derry defence never lets us down, does it? I'm afraid, for talking points. And they failed to clear early on and went nil down. And Jared Doherty really kept the scoreline decent.
Could have been five or six only for Jared Doherty.
Yeah, yeah, he saved well. Did have the odd chance, that Ronan Hale overhead kick. That went over the bar, but you know, the defence parted like the Red Sea and allowed an easy goal to make it 2-0. Their hopes weren't given any advantage neither when Conor McDermott got sent off.
Their hopes weren't given much chance either by the small attendance that was at the game. The atmosphere was dead. It was like watching a pre-season game, and that was down to the ridiculous ticket pricing of that game. £25 for a ticket. I mean, how are you supposed to bring your family to a game like that? These European games are exactly the sort of games that the club should be promoting to get young kids out and try and hook a whole new generation. I mean, even if you get 100 people there that have never gone before and you get 10 of them that are going to become lifelong fans, that's crucial to the survival and the boost of a club going forward. Derry didn't get that. They got, I think, just over 1,000 people at the game. Atmosphere was dead, as I said. It just didn't feel like a European tie, and that was all down to the ticketing.
And I had that down as my big talking point from the match. You know, how wrong did the Derry board get that? And shame on them, because they priced out the fans from that match. Just imagine if that had been a full Brandywell, Kieran. Mm. Great atmosphere, raising the players. I'm not saying it would have been a different result, but, you know, to a nice, full ground, intimidating atmosphere for the travelling fan. You never know.
Yeah,
you just never know. But I'm afraid, you know, we talk about the crowd being the 12th man a lot of the time. It was like having 10 men from the start.
Yeah, very true. And that's true, no fault of the Derry. I know there's been a couple of comments thrown the way of some Derry fans that they should have gone out and backed their team. I totally disagree with that. They have the right to decide what they're willing to pay to go and watch their team. And when you have a back four like that at the moment, I wouldn't be paying £25 to go out and watch it.
Absolutely not. And I'm afraid they're going to get battered in Minsk, I think so,
yeah. Just something needs to be dramatically changed there, whether it's a couple of experienced heads coming into the back four, couple of defensive midfielders going in, because at the moment they're just the softest team you could wish to play against.
Yeah, well, they brought in Seaborn, didn't they? But, you know, it's going to take him a while to settle as well.
One man can't do it. This isn't a one-man fix. It's three, four, five experienced players need to come in there.
Yeah, but, I mean, we're going back to last season as well. They got hammered in Europe as well last season, didn't they? By
naive defending. Albeit against a quality opposition.
Quality opposition. But, I mean, this is a decent opposition, but, you know, they've been well put to the sword. And
look, let's talk about something a bit more happier.
Yeah, well, it's no coincidence that Dundalk were the only seeded teams in these European draws. And they got, to be honest, they didn't get that easy a draw either.
No, I didn't think so. I know there was a lot of commentary before this game that they got probably a favourable draw, but I thought Tallinn would put it up to them, and they certainly did in the first leg.
Yeah, and they certainly pressurised early on. I have to say, Stephen Kenny had obviously done his homework with his team selection, because you looked at that Livadia team with the pace down the flanks, and he went with Gannon, didn't he?
Gannon and Connolly down the one wing. I tweeted that actually while I was watching the game. I said, Stephen Kenny has obviously done his homework here. He's got this spot on, because I think a lot of people were surprised to see Gannon starting at right back, considering Hoare played out there so much this season. Yep. But it was clearly to counteract the pace that Livadia had down the wings, and it worked a treat.
Yeah, so Dundalk rode a bit of early telling pressure. Gary Rogers, we're going to be speaking to him. I thought he did well, made a couple of good saves. But then Dundalk came into the game, and they looked pretty good, actually. Some nice passing, nice movement. McGrath headed over. He's really coming into his own this season, isn't he? Benson should have scored, but he shot over. Duffy cross, that was met by Dylan Connolly to make it 1-0. It's good to see Connolly doing
Yeah, that's
well,
what you
know.
Want to see from your wingers, getting in the back post, gambling and turning them home. And you're talking about Dundalk there putting in, you know, a nice possession-based performance. But I thought this was a really professional performance away from home from Dundalk. And that's probably the difference between the likes of Dundalk and Derry City in terms of their mentality. I suppose Dundalk have been there and done it down the years. But just their approach to the game was so professional, and I thought it was fantastic to see.
It was. And they could have won 2-0, because Connolly hit straight at the keeper.
Yeah,
when,
disappointing there.
Yeah, and it wouldn't have been too hard to make it 2-0. But overall, a good result, and that gives them every chance for the second leg here.
Yeah, I have my ticket for tomorrow night, so really looking forward to heading up to a sold-out Oriel Park. The atmosphere should be absolutely bouncing, as it wasn't in the Brandywell, as we mentioned there. And look, we're going to speak to a player that's going to play a huge role in what will hopefully be a famous Dundalk win in Europe tomorrow night. We're going to speak now with their goalkeeper, Gary Rogers. Okay, folks, we're joined on the line now by the Dundalk FC goalkeeper, Gary Rogers. Gary, welcome back to the show.
Thanks very much for having me.
Fresh off the win in Europe, of course, Gary. 1-0 against the Estonian side, Levita Tallinn. They were a tough opposition, though. I think maybe a tougher opposition than a lot of pundits expected, but I'm sure Stephen Kenny was never going to let complacency slip in there.
Yeah, I think a lot of people probably were expecting to have a good performance and a win, but we knew, I suppose, going into it, that it was a tougher task than a lot of people would have thought. And one thing about the gaffer is that, you know, he's always very well prepared, and we knew as much as we possibly could about them before the game, and between Steve and Vinny and obviously Rory Higgins doing the homework on them, we were well prepared. But it was a tough game, and we were thankfully get out of there with a 1-0 win. Possibly could have been more, but like you say, it would have been worse. So it's all in all kind of a good first leg performance, and nice to get out of there with winning the away goal.
Yeah, and they came out of the blocks pretty quick, did Tallinn, but you made a couple of good saves early on, which were probably crucial in knocking a bit of stuffing out of them.
Yeah, well, I think we weathered the storm quite well. A couple of routine saves, nothing too spectacular, to be honest, in the first 20 minutes, but they put a lot of the ball into the box and they were very dangerous from set pieces. So the one thing, we did know what to expect in regards to what their set plays were like. So I think the lads did really well to defend them. And, you know, it's important, obviously, not to go down to an early goal, especially when you're away from home in European leg. Like, you can give the home team momentum, and I think we seen that spell out well, and I think we were, for the second half, we were probably, you know, in control a little bit more, and we were a better side in the second half. But as you say, certainly the first half was all to play for in the first half, very much so.
Yeah,
professional was the word I used earlier on the show here to describe Dundalk's performance in that first leg. But in terms of bringing that now into a home set in a second leg where you have a lead, how different does the approach have to be?
You change our approach to the game, really, because, you know, we generally try and approach the game as we would any game. We try to, obviously, you know, get a good foothold in the game in terms of possession and, you know, work the openings from there. And I think, you know, I think if you go into the game looking to sit back, you know, it's not really a good play, because games change, you know, very quickly. So I think the best thing for us to do is really, you know, stamp our own sort of style of play in the game and try and get that second goal and possibly even a third. But obviously, look, the first goal in the match will be vital in terms of, you know, the way the game goes. You know, they know they have to score and two goals, so it's obviously one goal will get to them extra time if they were to win 1-0, but, you know, they would have to approach the game thinking that they have to get two goals, so, you know, to win the game in 90 minutes. So look, the first goal is always crucial in the away leg or the second leg.
Yeah, it's funny, we were talking before before we started the interview about how much prep had been put in about Tallinn, because you seem to have them with the team selection that was put out there, you know, the pacey down the wings, you know, you seem to have it well set up as to what their strengths and weaknesses were. So hopefully, you know, the second leg do something similar, and it might be a case of you sitting back a little more and hitting them on the counter.
Yeah, well, I don't know about sitting back, but certainly, look, I think both teams would have learned a lot from the first leg, and, you know, look, there were certain things that we didn't probably do as well as we could have in the first leg. I think if we can improve on them things as well, it should make for an interesting game. I think, you know, it's very much all to play for. I think both teams going into the game and the way the scoreline is, will, like, even from their point of view, they would still fancy their chances, you know, progressing. So it's look, it should be interesting, but hopefully we'll put in a good performance at home in front of, you know, a full house and get the job done, hopefully.
Yeah, and it was great to see Dylan Connolly getting the score sheet, because I think it's fair to say that he hadn't had the best of times since he joined Dundalk, but he really starting to get a little bit of a run and starting to make an impact now.
Kind of sustained running the team over the last maybe 15, 16 games. I think if you look at it, he's been playing in the team regularly, and he's really kind of, like, it's difficult to come to a new club and to hit the ground running, especially in mid-season. I think towards the end of last year, you know, we started to see what he's about.
Obviously, Gary, as you mentioned there, a full house tomorrow night at Oriel Park. Going to be an amazing atmosphere, as always, from the Shedside Army and Co there. You must be looking forward to playing in such an atmosphere, and I suppose it's what every League of Ireland player looks forward to.
Yeah, I think when it comes to European football, it's probably one of the highlights, you know, of it. You know, you get to play in big games in Europe, and, you know, I think, you know, the opportunity is there for us to kind of go and progress and to have more of them nights. And I think, you know, as, you know, we really want that, and we really want to kind of do well and have put a good European run together. Everyone is kind of capable of doing it in 2016, and lads remember that fondly, and you know, I'm sure everyone is keen to, you know, have another go and have another season like that. So tonight, you know, I suppose you can't look beyond tomorrow night, and in order to have great nights and in the future, you have to kind of perform and get the job done tomorrow night, and hopefully we'll put in a good performance in front of the home support and pick up a good European result.
Well, Gary, myself and John want to wish yourself and all the Dundalk players the very best of luck. Always good to see Irish clubs progressing in Europe, and hopefully it's just the start of a very long run again for Dundalk FC.
Hopefully. Thanks very much, lads.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flowmax.ie.
So only the one Premier Division match this week, or last weekend I should say, John, with all the European action going on. It was Bohemians hosting Sligo at Dalymount Park. And a bit of a surprise result, really. 3-0 for Sligo Rovers.
Yeah, I think if we were doing our prediction league that week, we'd have both got this one totally wrong. But what a result for Sligo, this one. We'll be talking to Jay Little about it. He must be over the moon with it. But we have to question Bo's performance on this one. First of all, the first goal came from a run that wasn't tracked from a corner. Jack Keady gets in and makes it 1-0. Keith Ward had a couple of chances. He drove from a free, which was well saved by Beanie. And then he shot from distance over, unfortunately for him. And then that Buckley drive, which led to a superb save from Beanie. It's funny, we were talking about Micheál Slingerman a lot, but Beanie seems to be proving the part at the moment.
Yeah, 5 clean sheets out of his last 7 games, so that's an impressive stat. And yeah, it was a big decision, I suppose, to let Schlingerman go. But I imagine a goalkeeper like that wanting first team football. We've seen a similar situation at Longford with Jack Brady leaving to go to Limerick. So it's always an interesting one, but it seems to be working out for Sligo.
Second goal also came from a corner, so Bo struggling with their set pieces. David Corley with the goal there. And then we saw an absolute horror tackle from Derek Penner.
What was he doing?
What was he thinking, Kieran?
I mean, he's on the halfway line, John.
Halfway line. He's by the byline as well. He's not in the centre of the pitch. No. And he goes, it's way over the top.
Yeah, very poor tackle, and maybe might see a lengthy ban for that one.
I would say so. Regan Donlan, I mean, he could have been badly injured with that, Kieran. Don't like to see those, I'm afraid. Corley got the third. Keeper should have saved at his near post with that one.
Yeah, I was disappointed with that one.
Yeah. So, and then Bowes, they could have pulled one back near the end, but it was an incredible save on the line by Seamus Sharkey.
Yeah, he's made a few mistakes this season, but he dug his team out there. But look, I think the result was already well beyond doubt at that stage.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going to bring in the Sligo Rovers manager now. This is our interview with Ger Little. Okay, folks, we're joined on the line now by the Sligo Rovers manager, Ger Little. Ger, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Ger, a superb win in Dalymount Park last weekend, 3-0. Obviously, a rough time for both sides in recent weeks. But that's a huge win in terms of pulling away from the pack at the bottom of the table.
Yeah, it was definitely. You know, it was potentially, as you call it, the good old six-pointer before the game. You know, it was an important match for obviously both teams. You know, if the self-doubt kicked in and if they had lost, you know, they would have pulled a wee bit clear of it. So it was really important that we went there and a positive mindset and won the game. And obviously, the boys were tremendous on the night. They took their goals really well and came away with 3 points and a clean sheet.
Obviously, with Sligo being one of the closer clubs to Longford, probably Sligo is one of the clubs I really keep close eye on. And I just picked up on a couple of your comments. Obviously, you had that very disappointing result against Bray and then the 3-0 win over Bowes. And you spoke about a total mentality shift being the major factor in that result. Maybe can you expand a little bit more on maybe the approach you took during the week to have such a turnaround in fortunes?
Yeah, well, automatically, you know, the Bray game was an absolute distraction for everyone, because the whole talking point leading up to it was obviously about Bray not being paid and players not training properly, and you know, players been told that they can go on a free or whatever. So, you know, it was a massive distraction, and obviously when that happens and you hear that, automatically our players start thinking that, you know, it's a given. You know, you just got to turn up basically, and you're going to get 3 points. But you know, We never ever believed that, and we're never ever going to underestimate Bray, because first of all, they have a manager there who wouldn't allow it, and Martin Russell, you know, but obviously our players did, and you know, on the night, you know, we went there and could beat that, you know, 2-1, you know, they had two shots on target and scored, but you know, the mindset was completely off. You know, it wasn't a positive mindset for me. It was just a mindset of just turning up and a team gifting you 3 points, and it wasn't the beat. So, you know, we had to shake out of the boys and get rid of a lot of, obviously we took a lot of slack over it, and rightly so, because, you know, and no disrespect to Bray, but, you know, obviously everyone expected us to go there and beat Bray, but, you know, it's always a hard fight to go for, especially for Sligo Rovers. It's not a real happy hunting ground, you know, we knew that beforehand. know, if like the league winning teams and the cup winning teams have went down there and compete in the last 4 years or so. So that was always on the back of my mind as a manager, and obviously on the day, you know, it was a bad day for us, and as I say, we came out with absolutely nothing and a red face.
Two goals from corners at the weekend there. Was that some set piece or something you were looking at during the week?
No, it's something that we always look at. You know, if you look since I've come in, you know, we've scored a lot of set plays. You know, even last season and this season, and we do a lot of work on them. And obviously, we look at different opposition in terms of who we're in on the week leading up to it, and trying to identify one or two weaknesses. And you know, we've came away from Delhi Mount with a game with two set plays. It's like we scored down there the last time as well from a set play from right saying so. So yeah, it was very pleasing when they come off. It's really good because the work you put in, you know, it's a very rewarding thing. But like I said, and Friday night, you know, it's down to the boys as well, because I can give them a plan and look at different things, but they obviously have to execute it. And I thought that they'd underneath the perfection.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you kept a clean sheet there, but what an amazing stop on the line from Seamus Sharkey there near the end. How did he clear that one?
Well, it's very critical of him, because he shouldn't have had to do that. If he had it covered in the first place, you know, it wouldn't have got to that. But yeah, it just shows you, as I say, you know, I spoke about the mindset. You know, we, as a back five, the four and the keeper, you know, they were never going to concede in the night. You know, I knew before the game, when we were doing our pre-match work in the hotel and then going through stuff, and you know, we'd done a little exercise on mentality and things like that, and you just knew, you know, that they were solid. You know, they were staying solid and they weren't going to concede. And that just obviously summed it up, you know, that Seamus Sharkey was able to throw himself, you know, as a last-ditch clearance with a header, and obviously Rack Bohemian's net on top of that.
Yes. Well, it was, like I say, fantastic results. We wanted to ask you about a couple of players that you released. The goalkeeper there, Schlingerman, was that, I presume you brought Marcus Bean in as new number one, so you were very lucky to have two good goalkeepers in the first place, I suppose.
Well, with three good goalkeepers, with a young lad called Ed McGinty, who's you know, the full international under-18, under-19, a very promising young keeper. And to be fair to him, you know, Micheál's a top guy. He's a really top professional. And you know, he carried a couple of injuries at the time, and obviously Mitchell Beeney came in and had done well and kept a couple of clean sheets. And Ed McGinty was number two then, and as I say, has been pushing, you know, Mitchell Beeney and Micheál Schlingerman. So, you know, we just thought that obviously with Mitchell claiming the number one, and you know, I know what Micheál's like. You know, he obviously wants to be a number one rather than a number two, and I just couldn't guarantee that for this season. You know, and obviously we sat down and we spoke professionally, and we came to the conclusion that, you know, it might be better for Micheál to go and try and find a club that he's going to settle and be a number one and play every week. So that's what it was. You know, we left in good terms, and obviously, you know, Mitchell now I think has kept five clean sheets out of seven, and you know, he's getting better and better, the young keeper as well, and as I say, young Ed is pushing him all the way for that number one spot as well, which is good competition.
We had your new frontman Mikey Drennan on the show a couple of weeks ago, but the marquee signing, I suppose, in the off season was Adam Morgan. Is there an injury there at the moment, because he hasn't seen a lot of action?
He's been playing with an injury since he came here, so he hasn't had it easy, and he's been playing through it, and it just seems to have got worse. Yeah, so he's got two tears in his abdominal, and you know, we went and seen a specialist there 2 weeks ago and got it all sorted, so he's been fixed now. He's had total 10 days rest, and then he'll be on the mend after that, probably talking another 6 weeks. So you're probably looking at the end of August, start of September before Adam's back, you know, pushing for a place in the starting 11.
Finally, Gerard, I'd imagine you're looking forward to having another pop at Longford this season in the FEI Cup.
I'm still nightmares over that game, to be honest with you. It was a tough tonight. It's a great opportunity, obviously, to push things right. But, you know, we know Longford's a decent team. I've watched them, obviously, a few times this season through various different reasons, looking at different players and different games. And I've been very impressed with the times I've seen them play. You know, they try and play the right way and play some good football. So we'll be expecting another tough game. The good thing for us, it's obviously, you know, it's a home draw, and that's what you're looking for when you see your name coming out of the hat.
Yeah, and Longford's record in the showground certainly isn't impressive at all over recent years. But yeah, we want to thank you very much for joining us. Congrats on the big win, as we said at the weekend, and we'll speak to you again hopefully before the end of the season.
No problem, lads. Thanks very much for having me.
Cheers, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
All the best. Bye.
Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes, or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half.
So it was a quiet weekend in the Premier Division, John, as we've seen there with that win for Sligo over Bohemians, but a full card in the First Division.
And we're going to start at Finn Harps 3, Longford 0. Kieran, you were there.
Yeah, this that UCD trip was one of the best away trips I've ever been on. This was certainly one of the worst, especially considering I got done for speeding on the way home, John. I wouldn't call it been 20 kilometres over speeding, but anyway, that was the opinion of the Gardaí. But look,
well, at least somebody came away with 3 points.
Thanks. I've heard that one about 10 times this week. Yeah. But look, I'll run you through what was a horror show for Longford Town. Very even game early on, even though Harps were probably, in terms of chances, were slightly on top, but should have gone in 0-0 at the break. But an individual error from Mick McDonald at the back, all he had to do, John, was play a simple ball back to the goalkeeper. Mick Kelly would have kicked the ball away. That would have been half time. But McDonald tries to turn his man, loses the ball, cross goes into the box, and Nathan Boyle scores on his return for Harps from Derry City. Second half then, we're hoping to see a much more improved performance from Longford, because it was a very poor performance in the first half. A lot of long balls, as we've seen in the game against Cove. Darren Meenan comes on. You're looking for him to spark a bit of life into the game. What does he do? He goes and pulls down his Harps marker inside the area, even though he was already warned by the referee only seconds earlier to get his hands off his marker. But no, of course, didn't listen. Penalty for Harps. Mikey Place slots it away. Even though there was still 20 minutes or more left in the game at that stage, you just knew Longford weren't going to get back into it. And then the debutant for Harps, Sabwali, who was absolutely superb on the night, looks to be a real player, Harps on their hands there. He gets the third after Longford failed to defend a routine set piece. It was abysmal from Longford Town, their worst performance of the season, and the playoffs now are starting to look unlikely at this stage.
Well, that's another win for Harps against Longford, because earlier in the season they won at our place, didn't they? Yeah.
Well, on that occasion, it certainly was a smash and grab, but this was three and it probably could have been more.
Yeah, very disappointing. Galway went to Cove to add more pressure on Longford. They won 2-1 there. Conor Barry, McCormack, Stephen Kenny with one bat for Cove.
Good signing for Cove there, Stephen Kenny. He's a player that's been at a lot of clubs, so that's probably one mark against his name, the fact he's been at so many decent clubs like Cork, Limerick, and it hasn't worked out for him. But should do a job for Cove, you'd imagine. Adds a bit of creativity to their side there. But Galway, they're definitely the team to watch now in terms of a late push on the playoffs.
Yeah, and they've obviously got, hopefully get that money behind them, the Saudi money if it comes, and they'll be desperate to get in the playoffs at least this season. UCD kept hold at the top, 3-0 at Wexford.
Wouldn't expect any less. I suppose the big talking point after this one was Damien Locke relieved of his duties by Wexford FC. Wexford FC released a statement to say it was via mutual consent, only for Damien Locke to then put out a tweet saying that he was very disappointed not to be given the opportunity to continue with the side for the remainder of the season. So that looks to be a club that's in a bit of disarray, and it has been for a long time now. I've been very unimpressed with Wexford FC ever since they've entered the league, in all honesty, John.
O'Connor, O'Neill and Ferrugia with the goals there for UCD. Big game there. Shells 0, Drogheda 1. Sean Brennan free kick. It was a beauty.
I hope you've seen the video of this, have you?
I have indeed.
Wow, what a free kick. Like, the only way to describe it, it was right in the postage stamp. It couldn't have been any more in that top corner. Sean Brennan, a player of great quality when it comes to set pieces, and he's proven it there. What a win for Drogheda. But for Shells, the goals have dried up for the likes of David O'Sullivan there. They're going through a little bit of a rough patch. Big couple of weeks now for Shells.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've to go to Harps as well next fixture.
And they have Longford at home next week. So that's probably a decide. You're looking at Shelton and Longford now probably battling out for that final fourth spot. Obviously Galway then as well coming in too. So a huge couple of weeks into First Division coming up.
One more fixture, Kieran. Athlone 1, Cabinteely 3. Kieran Marty Waters opening the scoring. Ever dependent. Athlone actually equalised through Kieran Grogan. But Doyle and own goal made it 3-1.
Not sure if you seen the article over the week we were off with Kavanagh, the player that he left. He's gone back to, I think, Drogheda Town, where he was speaking about Athlone Town, and he was saying that the only people in the stands at the games is members of the family.
Yeah, I did see that.
Interesting article, but things going from bad to worse there for Athlone.
Yeah, they're going to be certainly going home with a wooden spoon this season, that's for sure.
Definitely. Look, we are going to bring you an interview with Declan Fabio O'Brien now, and then we will have our First Division previews for the weekend. Okay, folks, we're joined on the line now by Soccer Republic pundit Declan Fabio O'Brien. It's been a huge week in the League of Ireland on and off the field, unfortunately, not always for the right reasons. Fabio, you're welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kieran. Cheers for having us.
So, Fabio, obviously you're a player that was at plenty of clubs during your career, and some of them in recent times have had financial issues. I'm just wondering, did you ever go unpaid at any stage in your career the way the Bray and Limerick players are experiencing at the moment?
Yeah, I had had issues with Drogheda back in 2008 when the club was, you know, it kind of happened with a downturn in the economy as well. So it wasn't just the club's fault that time. It was, you know, it was a lot of circumstances around the stadium that was the proposed stadium that was supposed to be built. But fortunately, that didn't get the go ahead due to the National Roads Authority, and the club obviously couldn't sustain what they were doing and couldn't honour the. I think I had a 3-year contract at the time, and you know, it was obviously decent money at the time, which was the going rate really at the big clubs then. And yeah, so I definitely experienced it. You know, I had mortgages and I had kids, and well, one kid at a time, and it's very difficult. So I really feel it. I really empathise with the Bray players and the families and everybody involved there. You know, you just don't want to see that in the league. But unfortunately, I think as Sully eloquently put it there last week, that you know, socially accepted these days, and that's the unfortunate part.
Declan, you know, just bring it home for us. How does it affect a lot of players with their families and things like that? And I can imagine putting myself into those shoes. You know, if I wasn't paid for a couple of months, you know, we'd be in awful trouble. So, you know, similar type of thing.
Look, we all know, you know, 5-6 weeks going unpaid can really affect the way people live week to week. You know, and people are, you know, a lot of people wouldn't be as sensible to be putting, you know, huge money away a week for a rainy day, which we all know can happen. But, you know, most people live precariously, unfortunately. And, you know, footballers certainly do because, you know, they like to have the nice clothes, they like to have the nice trainers, nice watches. And it goes with the territory almost that you spend as you go. And, you know, unfortunately, things like this happen, and then it really highlights what kind of industry you're in and how cutthroat and how precarious, as I said, it is. And it's difficult. And, you know, for the older players in the team especially, we'll be thinking, you know, should I be just doing the normal job instead of the hassle of playing football and not knowing where the next paycheck is coming from? Because I can tell you, playing football is great, but not getting paid for anything is, you know, in any job is something that someone shouldn't have to go through.
And just in terms of the sanctions laid down against Bray and Limerick in recent days by the FAI, Bray kicked out of the Iron Brew Cup and both clubs under transfer embargoes. Do you feel those sanctions are strong enough, Declan?
No, certainly not. Look, I think, I echo everybody's, you know, anyone that knows the game here, you know, them sanctions are, you know, fairly a shambles, really. And I think the FAI have tried to muster up something and just didn't have the, I suppose, the care, you know, of the players in mind, and just almost to be seen to be doing something, they get these trivial stuff that the clubs won't give a crap about, really, that they're going to miss out on a largely Scottish tournament and not showing any more pleasure. What players would go there at the minute anyway? So it's kind of a nothing sanction that it's a pity that it's come to this, because you would expect him to come in and maybe cover himself in some sort of glory for once with this situation, because, you know, everybody feels for the Bray players and the Limerick players and anyone not getting paid. So it certainly would have been a good chance for the FAI to show something. And I know Fran really cares about the league, and I really do. He's a League of Ireland man through and through. But, you know, there's all, you know, red tape, and there's other stuff going on in the FAI where, you know, people's hands are tied. They can't, you know, do this, or it's just too complicated and complex over there. It just needs more transparency and some sort of closer link to the league. But at the minute, it's miles off.
I'm just wondering though, Declan, myself and John have just had a debate on this off air. What else could the FAI have done in terms of sanctions? I mean, you can't find a club that has no money. And in terms of point deductions, I think it's fair to say most people feel Bray's race is run already. So unless you're looking at sanctions for next season, maybe a minus 10, minus 15 start, I'm not sure what else the FAI really could have done.
Yeah, but that's it as well. But I suppose the other side of it is, like, you know, how they keep letting clubs get into this, not just the FAI, but I suppose that's the big thing about the change of not letting this happen. Yeah, the sanctions, it is difficult to say which sanction is the best and what fits for this again, because, you know, where do you go with it? But just for the change of criteria and even for the credibility of the league, we have to do something with the licenses, you know. And you know, even for the likes of other teams now who see this happening, let's say the other lower teams now who could have signed a lot of these Bray players but couldn't because Bray were offering them more money, they could be they could be sucked into relegation now because they couldn't sign these players. So Bray has caused, you know, a massive amount of problems, you know, and lads that offer these contracts, you know, Jerry Mulvey and all these lads, you know, they have to be accountable, personally be accountable. And not just, you know, a blanket over the whole club saying, you know, you can't sign this or that. I'm talking personal, you know. There has to be something that would deter people from doing it again.
Yeah, I mean,
and getting involved in the club.
This happened last season, Declan. I mean, to me, the licensing, it's a tick box exercise. It just sounds like it's referring to everything that's not important. Is there health and safety regs and stuff in place? You know, rather than the real, is there money in place to pay the players? Because there wasn't last season, so what on earth made anybody think that this season would be different for Bray?
Yeah. I mean, there was nothing to tell you that this year that we're going to pay the players all year round. You know, surely there has to be some sort of holding account or some sort of upfront money. Not upfront, but it's money there in a certain account that they cannot touch. And it's there ready for a player, the player's fund and wages funds. You know, I know they can create these accounts that makes it look like they've more money and all, but, you know, people that do that are, you know, should be accountable because they're lying about their finances. So surely that has to be, that has to be illegal for a start. And, you know, it can't keep coming back as, sure, we knew that would happen anyway. I mean, it's a serious, serious issue not paying people monies they're owed.
And I mean, you're talking about there maybe an account for players' wages. It seems Limerick have taken issue with that. They've had a bit of a pop at the PFEI in a statement yesterday. I'm not sure if you caught that, Declan.
Yeah, I just caught a bit of a headline on it. Can you fill me in on the full details of it?
It was just the Limerick FC were claiming that the strike had been led by the PFEI, that they'd asked for a meeting. The players apparently didn't turn up to this meeting, and that the PFEI were demanding, apparently, that the full amount of wages for the remainder of the season would be put in this account. And obviously Limerick couldn't afford to pay that, but now the PFEI are totally refuting that and saying they only wanted 1 month's wages put into this account. So it's a bit of back and forth between both sides, and it's really not helpful to the situation at all.
No, because, you know, no transparency again, and, you know, nobody's any clearer to where the, you know, what kind of things have been put in place for wages to be paid, and that's always been the case since, as I said, 2008, we're here we are again, you know. And I think we just keep, as Stewie said the other night on the show, we can't just keep getting kicked on further down the road for someone else to deal with, and the actual issue is never dealt with properly. So, you know, we need to go back to the drawing board here big time, and, you know, licensing needs to be know, something that stringent. It has to be really tough to get through a license for the season. Not just this Mickey Mouse, you know, obviously what's going on, and tick the box, as you said, and there you go, you're in the league again. Like, we want clubs in the league, we want to offer players contracts, but what's the point in offering them these contracts when they can't fulfil after 3 months of playing? Not even nearly getting to the end of a season, you know? You know, projected crowds of, you know, pie-in-the-sky figures. It's nonsense.
Yeah, Declan, I think you've hit the nail on the head there with a lot of your comments. We were going to speak Europe with you, obviously, your man, a great European experience, but we've ran out of time, unfortunately. Thanks very much for joining us, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Will do, lads. No problem. Anytime.
Thanks, Fabster.
All right, lads. Bye-bye.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
Okay, so it's that time of the week again. It's our St. Mel's Brewery prediction game. John leads 5-1. It's starting to look very unlikely that I can claw this back. But let's kick it off with the First Division fixtures this weekend, John. And we'll start with Cabinteely at home to Cove.
Well, I think Cabinteely, although had a bit of a stutter there against Athlone at the weekend, I think they should have enough for a slightly improving Cove. But home win for me, Kieran.
Yeah, I was reading reports of Cove's performance against Galway, and second half they really put the pressure on, and there was a lot of praise for their performance. As I said there, I like the look of Stephen Kenny since he's come in. It's a difficult one to call, but Cabo have got a lot of big home wins this season, but Cove are that type of side, they can get in, stuck in, grit it out. I'm going to go for a Cove win.
Okay, so we're begging to differ straight away.
Straight away for once, that's good. Promising.
Okay, I don't think there'll be too much of a difference on this one. Drogheda at home to Athlone, Kieran.
Oh, 100. Yeah, look, it's probably going to be a cricket score. They beat them, was it 6-0 earlier in one of the first games of the season? I'd imagine a similar scoreline could be on the cards here.
Yeah, home win all round there. Now, big one up at the top, UCD against improving Galway.
Huge game at the top. They played out a 1-1 draw at the ball already this season. UCD, obviously, without Georgie Kelly now. But their other star players were chipping in against Wexford, the likes of O'Connor and O'Neill. Galway really have to be winning these games now if they're going to continue this momentum. I think a stalemate's on the cards. I'm going to go for a draw.
Oh, I've got a draw as well, Kieran, on this one. So, yeah, we're both going the same with that one. Harps at home to Shells. This is an interesting one.
This is a huge game. I know from speaking to Harps fans after they beat Longford up there last weekend, they're really excited for this game, and they're starting to feel that the title could be on the cards for Finn Harps. I would disagree with that, but I do think the wheels have slightly come off Shelburne. Two teams that like to play direct football. Again, I think they probably could cancel each other out. I'm going to go for a draw, but don't be surprised if there's a late winner in this one.
Well, I'm going for Harps in this one. I just think their signs look good. Sobowale, or if that's how it's pronounced.
Decent sign. They've also signed a Maltese international as centre-back, so Ollie Horgan's pulling these out of, but they look to be good players.
Some agents on a good deal there, I'd say, Kieran, but great fair play, yeah, and I think they... Shells have just dried up recently,
yeah,
haven't they? The goals,
very strange.
And, yeah, so...
I was watching them during the week, actually, against Longford in the Leinster Senior Cup, and they fielded quite a strong side. Standard-wise, wasn't probably the highest standard of a game as you'd expect for a Leinster Senior Cup game, but it was entertaining. Longford poor defending let them down on the night. There wasn't much between the sides, so yeah, I think Harps have enough to beat them, but as I said, such a big game, I think a draw is likely.
Longford host Wexford. This is do or die time for Longford.
Well, we were speaking off air, John. You described it as win or bust. I have to totally agree with you. The performances Longford in the last couple of weeks have been nothing short of shambolic. The players know themselves they haven't been good enough. Neil Fenn knows himself the performance haven't been good enough. They've moved away from this possession style football to playing a real direct style and hoofing the ball up to the likes of Verdon, up to the likes of Dean Dillon, who hasn't settled well in his first few games. This is huge for Longford. You'd like to think a big home crowd will come out and support them, but with the results the last few weeks, you can never guarantee that. I'm going to go for a Longford win just on the basis Wexford have been so poor this season. But if it's anything other than a win, I think you can write Longford out of the playoffs right now.
Yeah, it has to be a Longford win, and I think it will be a Longford win, Kieran.
So we'll move on now, John, to the Premier Division fixtures.
We're going to start with two of our European hopefuls, Cork against Derry.
That Derry back four, you know, our both our opinions on it. I think we're going to have the same prediction on this one. It's got to be a Cork win.
Yeah, I'm going for a Cork win with this one. I just think they're too shaky at the back. Derry, Cork will have too much for them on the day.
Obviously, we should point out for the Premier Division fixtures, a lot of them may not go ahead considering European commitments. Derry, it looks unlikely they'll come back.
Kieran, that's going ahead.
That's going ahead, yeah. But there's other games that the Dundalk one probably unlikely will go ahead against Sligo. So just,
well, we can talk about that one next because Dundalk go to Sligo, but as you quite rightly said, that could be postponed. I can't see anything other than a Dundalk win there.
Yeah, I have to agree. Too strong. Even if they wanted to rotate their squad for a game like that, I feel Dundalk's second string could go out and beat Sligo.
Yeah, I mean, Sligo did so well last week. A couple of set-piece goals and things. But I think with Dundalk's defence, they're a different kettle of fish. So Dundalk win for me. Massive one near the top here. Waterford against Rovers.
Yeah, it has a real nice ring to it. Obviously, Rovers, if they can go to Sweden and get a win, then this one won't go ahead. Otherwise it'll be a Sunday fixture down at the RSC. Should be a huge home crowd out for this one. This is a very tough one to call. They played out a very entertaining game earlier in the season live on RT. Akinade and Doofus, I remember, I think ran riot that night against the Rovers back four. I could see something similar happening here. I'm going to go for a home win.
Do you know, I've just got a funny feeling that Rovers are going to win this. I don't know where it's coming from. I think they'll be looking to bounce back from Europe. I'm going Rovers with this.
Great analysis as always, John.
Yeah, well, could be just a complete shot in the dark, but I've just a funny feeling that that's...
I need something to go my way if I'm going to claw this fireball
back.
Yeah,
yeah, I'll just give you a bit of hope there, Kieran. Pats host Limerick.
Yeah, this game is live on Air Sport as well, so I'll be sitting down with a nice Chinese to watch this one.
Lovely.
So, obviously, a lot going on off the field at Limerick. Can the players focus? Pats are on a dreadful league run at the moment. I think that's 7 league games in a row now they've lost. But they did have a confidence boosting win in the Leinster Senior Cup against Wexford. I think it was 5-0. I'm right in saying was the final score there. And I know from listening to Conan Byrne on his own podcast, they're desperate to end this run soon before they get sucked into any type of trouble. And with everything going on at Limerick, I would have to go for a Pats win, but it mightn't be easy.
Yeah, well, I agree. I'm going to go for a Pats win. I know they've been in awful form, but look, I'd expect them to beat Limerick with the state of play over there currently. Finally, we have Bowes against Bray.
Just go back to that other one. You never know, though. We've seen what happened with Sligo and Bray and everyone next to this, so you just never know what's going to happen. But we'll move on to our final fixture there. What did you say?
Bowes against Bray.
Bowes against, I'm trying to jot down the predictions here as we go.
Right,
Bowes against Bray. Dalymount Park. What is going on there, John? Maybe we'll just discuss that briefly. Dreadful home form over the last two seasons.
Yeah, it's just not happening for them. And it's a place that's, you know, I love to go to Dalymount. I think it's a great stadium, you know, and there's always a great atmosphere. And
they're getting, despite the results, they're still getting a great backing up there.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great place to go. I love going there, but maybe the opposition are finding it too good a place to go at the moment.
There's nothing good about the pitch up there at the moment. Like most of the country, it's been heavily hit by the drought, which I never thought I'd say on Between the Stripes LOA podcast. But so look, they've obviously lost Dylan Watts as well, so that's been a huge blow. The goals for the likes of Corcoran this season just haven't arrived.
I think that's where the issue is this season. Corcoran and obviously they had Akinade, and it's just not happening up front for them. And Corcoran's got the odd one, hasn't he? And we think maybe he's back. But
got an own goal last weekend.
Yeah, it's just... But
look, let's cut to the chase. Can Bray, with everything going on, can they get a result here like they did against Sligo?
No.
It's a brave call, John.
No, I don't think they will. I think this is Bowes' match. You
put me off. I wanted to predict Bray against Sligo a couple of weeks ago, and because they let me down consecutive weeks, you said never back Bray.
And I listened to you.
No, I'm going to break the golden rule. I think Bray have enough to get a result here and shock everyone again. We're going to hear from Rhys Gorman in a minute, an interview we recorded when earlier this evening.
And it's a cracking interview,
but he sounds very optimistic for a man that's going through so much at the moment. And as he spoke about, there's a great bond, a great togetherness down there, Bray, with everything that's going on. I think Bray win this one.
I'm not sure. I'm still not convinced, Kieran. Not convinced.
That could be the one that wins me the St. Mel's beer at the end of the season. Let's see what happens.
I tell you what, if Bray wins you the St. Mel's beer, Kieran, You deserve it. You'll well deserve it if it comes down to that.
Folks, we're going to bring you our interview now with Rhys Gorman. As we said, this is an absolute cracker, and we really want to thank Rhys for taking the time out to speak to us with everything that's going on down there. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this one. Okay, folks, so it's been a big talking point throughout the night here on the show, but obviously the situation at Bray, we have to touch on it. It is a big talking point for all League of Ireland fans, and we're joined on the line now by Rhys Gorman, the Bray Wanderers midfielder. Rhys, welcome to the show.
Hey lads, thanks for having me.
So Rhys, obviously, as we're saying, it's a big talking point here. I'm sure it's a big talking point in all the other League of Ireland platforms. How distracting is it at the moment for Bray players? I know you trained last night out of the one of the non-league clubs offered up your training ground.
They did, yeah. It was actually very good of them, and it was great facilities as well. In fairness, there's a gym and the whole shebang in Bluebell. It's to answer your question, it is very distracting, to be honest. You'd be lying otherwise. You know, you're going a lot, even in like work and stuff. You know, everyone's at you, and to be honest, you know, you don't have the answers. Unfortunately, we don't have the answers as players, as clubs. We're obviously kept in the loop as much as we can, but it's a massive distraction. And you know, I know we were 9 points going into the game there against Sligo, but we bloody did well. You know, we got ourselves 3 points, and then that brings it to 6. And you know, is it a last push? And then it's just unfortunate this is all going on at the wrong time, really.
Considering that result against Sligo, which for me was one of the most incredible results in years with everything going on, was there, I'd imagine it must have been an extremely difficult decision to vote for the strike, considering that you're starting the clock.
I know. I'm sure you saw a few tweets, and the usual stuff is being said, last resort, I've said it myself, but it really, it genuinely was the last, like you said, not even the result. It's known, but we all love football, you know, everyone does, be it fans, be it players, we all love it, like, where we do it for a reason. And it really was just last resort. It's to try and spur action that needs to be taken, you know. It's not good enough what's going on, and this is what we feel can hopefully force our hand into action, like, and sorting it out, you know.
So, Rhys, what action are we likely to see? Are we likely to see players on pickets outside matches, or is it going to get that serious?
It could get to a state like you. Hopefully not, obviously. Of course, we want to. We all want to play the games. That we don't want to be doing this. But it could get to a stage where we just have to withdraw, I suppose, in legal terms, withdraw our labour. But we'll just have to not play, you know. We'll have to forfeit, whether it be forfeit or whether they field. You know, obviously, it's a whole nother step if Bray don't field the team. I don't know what the legalities and what can happen there. But be it the younger lads or what, the players who balloted for strike, hopefully we all stick together, and I know solidarity get thrown out there, but hopefully we all do. You know, it was our decision as a team, as a unit, and we'll have to withdraw ourselves from the game, you know.
And Rhys, can you clarify, are all the players there full time down at Bray? Is this so Lincoln,
no,
is it?
There are a lot of lads that I couldn't give you a turn over there. There would be a lot of lads that it is their main income, you know. It's Premier Division football. That's what they're signed up to do. It's a career they've chosen. Some of us are part time, like, as in we are a part time team, but some of us do have jobs, but other lads don't. And you know, they're relying on that income. It's just get pretty wound up about it. Like, it's like in any other job, if you look at it, I know people look at the League of Ireland as a hobby, and football in Ireland, it's not taken all that seriously, unfortunately, for whatever reasons. But it is careers that people choose to take, and they choose it over, say, other employment that maybe others look at, and then they're let down. If this happened in any other job, it wouldn't be accepted, you know?
Yeah, and just to pick up on your comments, Rhys, obviously we don't want to see you get to the stage where Bray aren't able to field a side for a league game, but that did happen only in 2016 with Athlone Town. And from what I can remember, obviously they lost the game, forfeited the game, but I don't remember a huge amount in terms of sanctions or repercussions from coming down from the FAI.
Not to belittle the, I don't know, the governing bodies and stuff of the league, but what can they do, you know? I remember the Athlone situation, and I think they got fined. I don't know what the 10 grand I'm throwing at. Like, they got fined, and you know what's the whole? It just became a laughing stock in this situation where, okay, the club can't afford to pay their players, which is the primary problem that's going on at the moment. And yes, they're getting fined. Like you said, what can be done? I don't know the answer. I would love to know the answer, but I don't know the punishment that can be involved.
Yeah, it's funny you should bring that up, actually, because myself and John have been at loggerheads over this all night, and we've spoken to Declan Fabio O'Brien on the show tonight as well, and we discussed in terms of the sanctions that have come down. The two lads feel that the sanctions were a bit of a joke, but I'm in the same boat as you there. There's not really a lot more the FAI can do. You can't find a club that has no money. And in terms of deducting points, I don't think it's fair on the players that that would happen. And also, I think a lot of people feel, without wanting to be disrespectful here, Reese, that maybe Bray's race could be run this season with everything that's going on. So is point deductions going to change anything?
Well, like you said about the sanctions, like I know what got thrown out there, the transfer embargo. Again, people are the automatic thing is, well, I mean, what on earth is the point in that? You would like to think their priority is to pay the players as opposed to signing people. But I don't know what Bray can get punished any further for, you know, bar obviously the dreaded step of holding or whatever. I don't know if that's, I hope to God that's not in the pipelines, but like, you know, I don't really know what can be done to prevent this, you know, or to stop it, really.
There has to be some kind of sanction in place that actually sends out a warning to other clubs, because at the moment it looks like there is no punishment, you know, whereas, you know, I think if Bray was to say starting next season with minus 10, minus 15 points, whatever, at least other clubs might have a closer look at the finances and avoid this in the first place.
Yeah. Well, you would presume at the start of the season, I know licensing, and unfortunately no one knows the process. No, maybe we never will know. We don't know what the steps are in the procedure there, but like, you would presume that, okay, so Bray went to the chairman or the board, or went to the FAI licensing board, and look, this is, yeah, we're going to go again with Bray. Look, we've been in the league however long. This is our plan for this year, be it a three-year plan, be it even a one-year plan. They would have went to them with their structure and the foreseeable future. And what on earth was told in that meeting, I just don't know, because I know there's speculations and all, it's the past 3 years at this stage at Bray, and for it to, like, obviously myself now, I'm in the thick of it now, like, and I've only ever been on the outside thus far, but to be in it now, it's just so frustrating. Like, what was sold to the, or what decisions were made to say, yeah, go ahead, look, we'll grant you this license, and then for this to fall through and no one to be held accountable for, you know, and we're the ones at a loss, like.
Yeah, and I just felt so sorry for you, Rick, because, you know, on a personal basis, you know, you'd had an awful time with the injury you had at Longford Town, finally go, yeah, get yourself another club, you know, everything's looking rosy, and then this happens.
I know, it's selfish to think of, obviously, myself, but from a selfish point of view, I like you said, I've gutted, like, I've played most games now in a good while, like, I was doing pretty well, to be honest, playing midfield, playing at the back, wherever, and yeah, just now this, like, which again leads to the whole ballot, like, all the players I know are in the exact same, but for their own personal reasons, everyone wants to play, of course, and that's why it was just so bloody hard to you know, to sign off on it.
One of the things I haven't liked during this whole situation has been some of the commentary I've seen online from some League of Ireland fans that have said, well, why did players sign contracts with this club considering all the headlines they've had over the last 3 years? I'd imagine, Reese, without going into too much detail, that you sat down, you spoke with whoever you spoke with, and guarantees were made that you would be looked after this season.
That's unfair. You know, you can't go in with, like, you're going in, you're signing a contract with a professional club at the highest level in the country. You would, like, whatever's gone on, you know, you can, it doesn't matter at that stage. You know, when you're signing a contract at a professional level, the highest in the country, you are presuming it's going to be honoured at the very least, you know, or whatever happens with Mutual, like, halfway through the season, stuff can go on, that's fine on personal terms, but you are presuming at the very least your contract's going to be honoured, like it does in every other company, every other professional company in the country, you know, be it football or otherwise. It's the bare minimum, like, you know.
Reese, you've been very generous with your time, but we'll just touch on the game obviously you have next. Obviously, we don't want to see strike action, and you have to serve 7 days' notice. So this game isn't under threat for any of our listeners that maybe aren't unsure on the situation. But you travel to Dalymount Park. Bowes have a very poor home record over the last couple of seasons. You shock Sligo. Can you shock Bowes as well?
I think, of course, yes. Of course we can. I think, I know solidarity, as I said a while ago, gets thrown out there. It's actually bonded us so much just as a group, like, even in training last night, for example, like, I know the PFA are great and they're putting on the training for us, but we're almost training ourselves in a sense, you know, we're setting the standards ourselves. You're just, you're completely and utterly playing as a team now. You're playing for each other, so you're only letting each other down. So we've bonded so much and just come together, and like, it was almost like it was almost just such a shock that it was nearly predictable we were going to win last week. You know, those kind of things that just happen, like it would be so just written somewhere. So we're just looking to go out and do the exact same again, just work so hard together and as a team, and sure, look, the results will look after itself then, just see what happens.
I'm sorry, I always have one more question after I say final question, but in terms of the manager, Martin Russell, what type of role is he playing at the moment in supporting the players and keeping you motivated?
At the moment, he is supporting us, of course. Of course he is. You know, it's a situation no one wants to find themselves in, let's be honest. But at the moment, he's supporting us. He's doing all he can. He's keeping us in the loop as much as he can. I know he's meeting the chairman very regularly. And any, like, myself personally, I haven't dealt with the chairman. And anything has been through Martin. So he's been nothing but, like, helpful in that sense. So he's doing the best he can, as we all are at this moment, to be honest.
Was it Martin that took the training session last night?
It wasn't. It was the PFAI.
Reece, look, we hope things get resolved there quickly. As John said, you were a great servant to Longford Town down the years, a league winner with us in 2014. So for all the Bray players, but obviously yourself especially, great to have you coming on the show and taking time out. We really appreciate it. And we hope things are sorted there soon.
As do I, yeah. Cheers, lads.
Cheers, Reece.
Thanks, Reece.
Thanks very much.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So folks, that brings us to the end of Series 2, Episode 17 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. As always, I want to thank my co-host John for great entertainment. Our sponsors, again, we have to plug them every week because without them, we simply would not be here. Their support is absolutely magnificent. Main sponsors, Flomax.ie, who had a big week. Obviously, St. Pat's had that friendly last night against Newcastle. Over 5,000, John Turner.
As seen on Sky Sports, yeah.
Yeah, seen that as well. So yeah, that's great for our friends there at Flomax. Fair play to them. Great support of the League of Ireland.
Wouldn't it be great if Pat's got 5,000 every week?
Look, I don't know. I'm sick of discussing that with people today. Like, what can you do, really? Just people want to watch the English side.
No,
the League of Ireland clubs.
It's a glamour-friendly, Kieran. Yeah. That's okay.
Once the League of Ireland clubs make a few pound, look, we're happy enough. It's probably a negative attitude to have, but it's no surprise. Like, yeah. I mean, the last time we've seen City College Stadium full was when Man United reserves rocked up.
But it's great to have the clubs like that over. And by all intents and purposes, Rafa Benitez, absolute gentleman, spends time giving out autographs and all.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, with the fiasco that was the Derry ticketing situation for their European game, as I said, if you get 100 new people in the gate and 10 of them turn out to be lifelong fans going forward, I mean, that's the potential you have for these friendlies when the likes of Newcastle are coming over. If there was 10 people last night in Richmond Park that are going to go out and watch St. Pat's next week and the week after that, then it's been a success. But look, we've gone off track. Diageo.ie are our website creators. Thanks to them, make sure you check out their website. And of course, St. Mel's, who sponsored the St. Mel's Brewery Prediction Game. Pick up a couple of fine bottles of their beer in your local off-license. That's been another show. Thanks to all four guests that joined us. And thanks to everyone who tuned in last week to our most successful, most listened to episode of the season. 9th in the iTunes charts. Absolutely fantastic. Hopefully we can have some similar numbers again this week. Make sure you give us a subscription on iTunes. Give us a follow on Twitter. Give us a like on Facebook. All that jazz. And we'll speak to you again next week. Thanks, folks.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.